Hey, what's up, Bucks County Bites? How are we doing out there, all our Bucks County residents and beyond? We are coming to you today on this wonderful Monday, the week of Thanksgiving. I hope everybody out there is getting everything prepared, cooking all that wonderful food, making those pies, getting together with family, and trying to stay safe as much as possible. I know we've got some protocols out there that we need to stay within the family. Don't go outside of the family. Do not have other people coming into your homes trying to keep safe. There's going to be so many people that are not going to do that. And of course, there's people out there that will. So whatever those choices are, please just take the best safety precautions that you can. Wear your mask, stay your distance if you're going to be in the house. If those people are going to see their family across the country, flying from California to the East Coast, or whatever you're doing, just please be safe. Take all the precautions you can if you're seeing your loved ones. We know that the numbers are climbing out there, and there's nothing we can do to actually stop those people from doing what they're doing. I have friends that have traveled and they've gone to see family. You know, they're, of course, they're from Pennsylvania, going out to the Midwest or out to the West Coast. So just be safe. Do your best that you can and try not to infect anybody. And hopefully everybody got their COVID test and that everybody is showing those negative results. Anyways, I am bringing you today this wonderful business we have here in Doylestown, right here in Bucks County, right in the heart. And I didn't even know that they existed. It was because of my friend Laura. Hello, Laura. I know you're out there listening to this podcast. You will be anyway. You are an amazing woman that you connect so many people to. And Laura has connected to me a business here called Van Tresca Limited. They are a clothing store, a men's store here that does all the tailoring, customized looks for what it may be, weddings, it may be corporations, business. They do all kinds of alterations. They do all kinds of monogramming, and they do, you know, cufflinks, socks, everything that you can customize a suit. And they have, you know, all kinds of sport clothes, formal wear, just some amazing clothes and an amazing family that has this wonderful shop here in Bucks County. One of the things I found, I've been doing some research on Mr. Frank Van Tresca. He'll be coming on shortly. You know, the testimonials that I read, the few that I have read, have been amazing. The family is very down to earth and have been here a very long time. They've had the business for about 38 years. And I just like to read a couple of things that people wrote. One of the person that wrote, John Harbor, or it might be Harbaugh, he's from the Baltimore Ravens head coach. He says that, "I have known Frank and the staff at Van Tresca Limited for years. They are an extraordinary group of people who do the highest quality of work and give you exceptional service. Even though my move at Baltimore, I have continued to call on Vitresca's people. I consider everyone at Vitresca Limited to be a friend and know that they will be a part of my life for years to come." Another person that wrote in, Phil Martelli, who is the head basketball coach for St. Joe's University. He says that Frank and his staff at Van Tresca Limited are professional and very customer service oriented. I've been doing business with Frank for many years and I am proud to be his friend. So that's saying a lot, just reading from Phil and John. They have known Frank for a long time. They've known the staff and they've used Van Tresca Limited for years. So I'm so excited to bring on Frank, and I'm going to give him a call here in just a minute, and let's find out more about him, more about the family, and more about the business, and how they have managed to get through this pandemic. Hey, Bucks County Bites here. We have this wonderful man that's going to be on our show. He's here with us right now, and he has this fantastic business, and I didn't even know it existed. So Ventresca, which is right here in Bucks County, right in Doylestown. I have Frank on the phone with me. So Frank, I am so happy that you are here. Wonderful, wonderful. So Frank, tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners out there through the world and through our country and through our local area here in Bucks County.
Hi, Martha. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful that that we were connected, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Laura, we can thank Laura for that.
Well, mutual friend, yes Laura
yes.
Saldano.
Yes, wonderful.
I agree with that. She and her family are very nice.
I know. They've been wonderful. And they connected me. They connected to me so many. And I just wasn't expecting it. She texted me. She goes, Martha, you have to have Frank. I was like, Frank? Frank who? And she gave me the number. And, of course, I called and got Lisa. And then I got to talk to you for a little bit. So, and here we are having this really fun podcast with you and your business.
So, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I started in business in 1981 in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, and I was 24 at the time. I grew up in a tailoring family. My grandfather on my mom's side immigrated here in the 30s and was a tailor. And then when my father married my mother, he went to work for my father, my grandfather, and so I grew up in a tailoring business, and you know, there were little mom and pop stores, and they made clothing and did alterations, and that was the business. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated high school in 75 from Central Bucks West High School, I wanted to go into the business. I wanted to see more and learn more. And so I went to work for my father, and I saw opportunities where I thought we could grow. And at that time, my dad was content with where the business was. And so little by little, over a period of time, in 1981, I decided I'd go out on my own. And instead of being competition in Doylestown, I would go to Jenkintown. That way, I wouldn't.
That's what you did. So you went down to Jenkintown instead of staying
correct.
Here.
Okay. And I didn't want to compete. I wanted to, you know, go out and start on my own. And that's what I did. So I didn't cannibalize his business. But at the same time, you know, wanted to try ideas that I had. And little by little, I started out in a small store, 850 square feet.
Wow, that's small.
Yes, and little by little kept expanding. And 7 years in that location, I maxed out. And so I bought a building down the street and remodeled it and then moved. And that was in 1988. And expanded my business. So we added ready-to-wear clothing. In the original location, we were doing custom-made clothing, and I was doing tuxedo rentals. And at that time, tuxedo rentals was not as mainstream,
integrated.
Yes, integrated into
okay.
The clothing business. So what happened is that there were clothing stores and there were formal wear stores. They weren't combined. So when I opened up in 1981, I was doing both. But then when I added ready-to-wear to it, that became very different because it wasn't uncommon for tuxedo stores and tailoring operations to be side by side, but they weren't in retail stores.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So I added a third area of revenue generator to the store. Mm-hmm. And so we were doing custom clothing, tuxedo rentals, and ready-to-wear clothing. And then that little by little kept expanding and adding. And then all of a sudden, the menswear business was changing. So we started to add denim and started to add casual clothing. Oh, wow. And sportswear and sweaters. The diversification of people's needs and wants were changing. The necessity to wear a suit and a tie, mm-hmm, every day
to
work.
Yeah, we saw that changing back then when you had that going on, which was in the 80s, right? We saw that change was over.
Yeah, the late 80s.
Late 80s to early 90s.
That's correct. And mm-hmm, then in mid-90s on, the necessity of casual clothing, sportswear, and then also weekend wear. You know, like, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, the store became a lifestyle men's store, mm-hmm, because if someone belonged to a country club or had a home at the shore, they would need shorts and polo shirts, mm-hmm, and casual attire that was different than what you'd go out to dinner on a Friday or Saturday night here.
Right.
So we would change seasonally, and at the same time, as the need occurred, we would turn around and add more fresher categories and try to lead in with those items, developing the trend instead of getting caught flat-footed and following it.
Right. You want to be the one trend-setting instead of following it.
Right.
Right.
So on a timing issue, it worked out very well. And with the exception of economic downturns, all I did was kept growing the business. And mm-hmm, for 27 years up until 08, that's what I did. You'd have a little hiccup with, you know, recession or, mm-hmm, with the war at Desert Storm.
Right, yeah.
A very, very small hiccup with 9/11. Mm-hmm. Those are common. But then when 08, 9, and 10 came around and you had a an economic downturn, mm-hmm, that was catastrophic. That was felt by a lot of people in the retail industry.
So you felt that pretty much during those years because of everything that happened. You didn't see the sales weren't up because of everything. So you saw a downturn at that point.
Well, it was funny. We went from the best year ever in business in 2007, mm-hmm, to the second half of 08, starting in June, starting to see a decline. And then all of a sudden, in August, when Lehman Brothers collapsed,
oh, yes,
then the stock market just imploded. Mm. And so the whole fourth quarter was a catastrophe. And then 9 and 10 continued that way. So you know, if you remember the automobile industry, the, yeah, jewelry industry,
everything,
apparel.
It was a disastrous time, very bad,
correct,
hit for everybody.
Yep.
In all markets,
and
yeah.
A lot of home, the banking industry,
yes,
the stock market, and you saw a lot of foreclosures.
It was horrible time.
Yeah, so that was a catastrophe, and then we had to turn around and to back up a little bit. I had moved out of Jenkintown at the end of July of 06. And over the weekend moved and opened up, which would be Monday, and would be the beginning of August of 06. So we closed Jenkintown, opened Doylestown over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We had been building out the store that we occupy now for 6 months prior. And from the rest of 06 and all 7 was magnificent. We had a 30% increase.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. It was a huge increase for mature business. And then that time was 27 years. So then all of a sudden the downturn occurred, and it was compounded by taking on more debt to move the store and expand it and buying the property, renovating it. But to me, that was going to be my last hurrah. I had spent the prior years, every 5 to 7 years, expanding, adding, and taking on new direction.
You really worked hard to build this business up, and you kept growing, getting a bigger store. And then, of course, you moved into Doylestown, and you know that Doylestown here is much more expensive. I'm not sure if it's more expensive than Jenkintown, but it's pretty close.
Well, what happened, the demographics changed. Growing up in Doylestown 40 years ago, 50 years ago, Doylestown was nothing like it is today.
Right. Nobody knew what Doylestown was 50 years ago. It was a tiny little place. No one knew that it was even on the map. Like, you know, no one knew Doylestown or Plumsteadville or any of this area.
That's correct. And then all the demographics kept changing, and people started to locate into Bucks County. The pharmaceutical industry's here, and Comcast is in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden, where other parts of the country people would commute an hour, drive to work, or commute would be standard. Was unheard
of
here.
We didn't hear about that up here, but people started to do it.
That's correct. So all of a sudden, when people were looking around and wanted a good education system and a wholesome community to raise their children and their families, all of a sudden, Doylestown started to spark up on the radar. And all of a sudden, Middle Bucks, which is, you know, all the way from Newtown up to up to Easton on the river, and then
Stockton, and
you
get all these
Lambertville,
New Hope, all that area, just it just exploded. And then you get all the people that were coming down from New York because they could get their like getaway weekend homes here along the river for a pretty affordable price at the time. You know, they could come in and take their kind of vacations getaway, and it was only a short commute back up to New York or even Philadelphia.
Well, that's correct. So in an hour you could be in Philadelphia, and you can be at, you know, between Hamilton, New Jersey, or Trenton, New Jersey, jump on the Amtrak. And you'd be in Manhattan in 50 minutes or less.
Yeah, very convenient.
So, and then the taxes in New York and North Jersey and the property values there is very expensive. And so people were buying. And now all of a sudden with the COVID situation, the interest in Bucks County real estate and the desire to live here has escalated, and there's a lot of North Jersey, a lot of New York money moving into the
area.
So people are working remotely, and if instead of being in Manhattan or on Long Island or wherever they may be,
they can be here,
have more property. Have a safe community, have a community that has a great lifestyle. You have the Doylestown Hospital here, and you have the county seat, which is right in the center of Doylestown, the Mercer Museum, the Michener Museum.
A lot of history here, just a lot of great, and the restaurants. You think about everything, the shops, the restaurants, the community, the health network. It is a very good area to be in. You know, a lot of people, they don't want everyone to know this because that makes more people move here. But if you do get more people that move into the area, you're not really building up Doylestown. I mean, it cannot become like, I wouldn't say a city, because there is restrictions here. They do have historic area, and they are careful about like building all these homes. I don't think you're going to see that here in Doylestown or right outside of Doylestown. I just don't think that they will allow something like that to grow and destroy this area.
No, it'll still be a bedroom community of the Philadelphia suburbs. I mean, but it's never going to be another large city. And, is Doylestown going to grow to the hundreds of thousands in its population? First of all, you have Doylestown Borough, and then you have Doylestown Township. Mm-hmm. So the township has a little bit more ability to grow. The borough, unless someone buys a house and tears it down, mm-hmm. There's really no more land left in the borough.
They can't do that, right? They can't do that in the borough. No.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what's happening in Doylestown, is that it's like many other small communities where it has a niche. In my perception, I believe down the line, years from now, mm-hmm. It'll be along the lines of what's happening in property values up in North Jersey, out in New York State, up in Connecticut.
You see it going in that direction where they are now, that in time we will get to those standards of those high tax brackets.
I hope not.
I
was going to say, I hope not, but I know there's only one way. When you're at a price value that we're at now, and what you get for a home here as far as the parcel, the size of the property, and the size of the home, and the proximity to get into Doylestown or live in Doylestown or get into Philadelphia, there's a high desire for that now.
Oh, sure there is.
And what just made it boom and took it fast forward 10 years, what was taking place and evolving is now concentrated in a small window because of the COVID situation.
Because of COVID. Now, as a business, since we are going through all this, with all the people that are leaving the cities and they're coming down to this area, are you seeing the changes in your store? I mean, you got to think about, all right, so people are not working out of the offices like they were. They're working from home. Everybody's changing. It's a new world, a new business way. Are you seeing people still coming in as far as getting the sportswear and the suits and the business attire? Because they still seem to be dressing up, even if they're, because they're in Zoom meetings all the time. They're conference calls, and they still are getting dressed up for work, even though they're not going and commuting, but they're still behind a camera. So are you still seeing people buy that, what they were before? Have you seen the changes?
Yeah, I've been in business 39 years. So to answer your question, change is constant. Anybody that resists change is going to fail. Mm-hmm. You have to accept it, and you have to evolve, and you have to move on.
Exactly.
To answer that question is that for the longest period of time, this country and many parts of the world have been experienced what took place all through time. You go back 100 plus years ago, the largest percentage of the population in the United States were blue collar workers and factory workers. Mm-hmm. So the smallest portion of the population were business people who wore clothing, suits and ties. Mm-hmm. They were the smallest. Well, if you take a look at our society today, it's reverted right back to that.
So true. That's true.
What's happening is what's really amplified the situation is that there is no charity events. There's no bar mitzvahs and no large weddings. No large gatherings. People aren't flying for business. Mm. People aren't going to work in an office building and going up 30, 40 floors in an elevator. That's not taking place right now.
Yeah.
After there's a vaccine, in time, it will resume. It's not going to happen overnight.
It's going to take time for it to come back to that level.
you're never going to shut down business, and you're not going to shut down business travel, and you're not going to shut down people wanting to go to Manhattan or go into London or Rome or Tokyo, wherever it is. There's different areas of the world that still have a higher formality, and the necessity of doing business is their suit of armor, and that suit of armor is a suit and tie.
Right, right. And now, you go to a lot of the European countries or anywhere, they have very high-end suits. They are they're very exquisite. You think about in Italy, in France, in anywhere the countries, I mean, you are dressed to the hilt for business or even for pleasure.
Well, the United States has a different mindset about whether it's a can of soda, or whether it's a cup of coffee, or whether it's a shaving razor, or whether it's a tissue. Everything's disposable. You throw it away. Okay? It got to that point with everything we do. Instead of buying better, people buy as inexpensive as possible.
Throw away.
And then just get rid of it in 6 months and get something else. That became the philosophy of how mainstream America bought clothing.
Yes.
And in other parts of the world, they never thought that way, and they still don't. They wait to buy better, or they don't buy it at all. And so and they keep it longer. In the United States, the majority at this point, I think it's at 51% of automobile transactions are leases. Well, around the world, the majority of the transactions, people buy them.
Yeah, they
buy
do.
The car,
right.
And they keep them longer.
Take care of them. They maintain them. They are in love with their vehicles. They take good care of them. Versus here, they have a lease. They get rid of it. They get another one.
That's right. And so with apparel, we're not going to – there are stores like ours all around the country that will never appeal to mainstream America. The people may want to buy there, but they either don't want to spend the money or they can't afford to spend the money to come in and buy clothing. And, well, the biggest misnomer is that we're unaffordable. We're not unaffordable. We're very affordable. We have we have an entry level, a mid level, and a premium level price point. What is very different is our level of customer service and attention to detail and the product knowledge that the staff has.
Oh, that's wonderful to know. So you have these different levels, but you have the staff that's there and they're very knowledgeable and they can help. Anybody that comes into your store looking for a sports suit or anything, they're able to help them.
Right. The worst thing to do is having salespeople who want to make a sale instead of growing a relationship. The majority of the people that we interact with, we have long-term relationships. Many of the staff that I have at the store have been at the store for 20 to 30 years.
Oh my gosh, you have long-term staff there.
Yeah, Tyrone Ebo, my store manager, has been there 33 years.
Wow.
And I've had, and here's the disadvantage of being open 39 years, and that is in the last 5 years, I've had four people who retired who were with me 20 to 30 years.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's really saying something about your business. Relationship. You have lots of relationships. I was reading some of the reviews, and you had people that have known you for years and that are good friends. Started out as a good customer and now has turned into friends after 25 years or 30 years.
That's true.
That's incredible. That's,
and so building a business and establishing relationships is an old school way of doing business. But in conditions like this and what we went through in 08 and 09 is a secure way. And I look at it where, you know, you can open up in a shopping mall and have high volume traffic and, you know, whoever's coming off the street and having inexpensive product and always doing a promotion, buy one, get one, mm-hmm. You know, and there's that kind and philosophy, of making sales, but, we're different. All right. We're going to have a sale at the end of the season to, move out the leftover merchandise, and then we're going to bring in all new merchandise at the beginning of the season, and it'll have a new fresh direction, and it'll have you know, a taste level that's not avant-garde but not mainstream America. It's going to be doesn't look like a department store look, and at the same time it's going to be a practical look that people can wear in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, or they can travel and go to Hawaii or go to Florida or go to Europe, and it's still appropriate there. Mm-hmm. You know, the taste level doesn't mean it has to be gaudy. The taste level means it has to be acceptable.
Right.
And so, and whether someone wants to spend a lot of money or they want to spend a quality amount of money, all right, there's a difference. And we deal with people who have a lifestyle. They go to work every day like all of us. They may have a home at the Jersey Shore. They may have a home in Florida. They may like to vacation and travel. And so they'll come and buy their business clothing, whether it's business casual or whether it's suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
They'll buy their denim, their jeans. They'll buy their shorts, their bathing suits from us.
Oh my gosh, you have everything. You even have the bathing suits there. That's,
oh yeah.
Oh wow, that's incredible.
So we'll have business shoes and formal shoes for someone to wear with a tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but in the summer months, we'll sell sandals and the mesh shoes that are very popular right now, casual. That's, you could walk on the boardwalk. You could take the family to Disney World and be on your feet all day and walking, and you'll be nice and casual. But mm-hmm. the shoe is very comfortable to wear.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to get this out there for everybody to hear this, because like I said, I wonder how many people may not be aware of it. I mean, the people that are here for a long time, yes, they know. But you have a lot of people that are coming into our area now. They're going to be moving in from Manhattan or Brooklyn or wherever they're coming from. They're coming down here, and you will get more business coming into Doylestown. So it's good for all the people out there listening. Say, oh, they do have to go to Ventresca, check out their store and what they have available. It's good information.
We're seeing, I've been in Doylestown now 14 years as of October.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time period, we've seen more and more new people continually come into the store. We gather their information when they come in, and they either want to be added to our list, mm-hmm. A contact list for e-blast or text blast or whatever, our mailing list, and we add them, as well as put them on our list when it's time to be gathering information for a sale. They come to the counter and they buy whatever, and we take their information and create a customer file. Well, with that being said, we see as a whole a good 30% of all the transactions in the course of a year are brand new. They've never been in the store before.
Wow.
which is very high, mm-hmm. in this day and age. And you know, we're a destination store. So people don't walk by us like they do in a shopping mall or in downtown district. They turn around and pull up to the front,
mm-hmm.
get out of the car, come into the store, and that's 99% of our method of business. We're not depending on people walking by seeing something and walking in. That occurs, but that's the smallest percentage.
Right.
We have people seeking us out. And, you know, we work hard with our social media and our website. And
oh, I love your website. I love your social media. I've seen your Twitter, your Instagram, and, of course, your website. And all that information also will be in the podcast. It will be in the links. It will be in your YouTube video. And then all that will be put out in all my social media, which is like probably about 10 different platforms, from TikTok to Snapchat to Instagram and all the ones that I do. And it also will be broadcast on a live radio show. It actually does a loop. So I'm on a radio show that I broadcast the podcast along with music. So I intermix all that. And so that's another interesting thing to do. And they have an app they can get on the iOS store if they're Apple phone, right? So they can get it download. Oh, let's listen to the radio show and they can hear the podcast at any time. Or they can just download it on their, you know, streaming platforms. So
yeah,
it's all kinds of ways you will be broadcast out there.
As it's no secret anymore. Technology is in front of all of us, and the necessity for social media compared to way we did business 20 years ago with a print ad or a postcard,
right.
Even God for, you know, the newspaper ad. I mean, we used to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on newspaper ads, and it's not as common anymore because if you want to get a younger audience, if you want to get an educated audience, you better be on social media, and you better have the ability for them to get access to you and know who you are via smartphone or computer. Otherwise, you're not going to be in business.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of people, some people don't want anything to do with this social media, any technology, which is really a bad choice because it's the way things are, especially now with the pandemic. You know, this is the way you're doing business.
Well, again, people will always have their personal points of view. Is it going to represent the mainstream of how people are going to operate? No. I mean, but there's always going to be a percentage of people that if they want to go unplugged, they'll go unplugged. But, you know, we have a brick and mortar store. So if they don't get in their automobile and they stay in their house, they're not going to know about anything. But
that's right.
I'm not marketing to those type of people. I'm trying to go after people that have a want and need for what we sell, and we have a high retention rate of people we do business with because we're interested in providing a service and help them with whatever they're looking for rather than trying to make a sale, and then at that point we push them away because they come into the store one time, we're too pushy or we're too directive in what you should be buying, and all of a sudden they're not comfortable and they don't come back. That's not how we operate. Mm-hmm. We're there to ask questions, find out what their needs are, what are they using it for, and then at that point, what price point are they comfortable at, and then turn around and show them their options.
Right, right. That's great. Such great information.
Also, what happens is that, you know, the way it used to be done was you walked into a store and you buy clothing, a shirt, whatever it was, and you get free alterations, and they put you in a mirror and turn around and help you look good, look your best, make sure that garment fits you and not just put a hem on the pair of pants and say, this looks great, and get you out the door. That is the way chain stores and big box operators.
I was just going to say, those are chain stores. I've seen that where they do the hem, you get you done and you're out. It's not like they're worried about what you're looking like in that suit. I've seen it. Completely different. You're not that.
Yeah. Well, they're not. What they do is, when you're selling $119 or say a $299 suit, they can't do any alterations. When I say can't, they're not interested in doing any alterations and having it built in. They'll put a hem and do sleeves on a coat. Mm-hmm. And if anything else needs to be done, they're going to charge you for it. With us, it's not necessarily built in. It's just the way that the industry has always operated. You go to a better store in anywhere in the world, men's store that is, and they don't charge you for alterations when you buy a suit of clothing or you buy a shirt, whatever it is from them. That's the correct way to do it.
Right, that is the right way, yes.
So, you know, they're interested in, and our interest is to make sure that you're satisfied, you get compliments, and then that point when you come, when you're interested in whatever you may need again, you're going to come back instead of going somewhere else because you said, you know, my experience there was so good and they were so helpful. I want to give them the business.
Oh, and I've read those reviews. I've seen your reviews. The people absolutely love you.
Thank you.
They do. I adore. I mean, the only one that I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this across the board, Yelp. I don't think a lot of people are happy with Yelp just because Yelp pushes their business and their reviews aren't always the best. And that's all across the board for any industry. Yelp is one of the ones I'll look at it, but I don't take them to heart. I don't.
I'm glad you said it because I'm not afraid to say it. I happen to agree with you because they have an agenda, and their agenda is to have service businesses like us buy into their advertising services.
Exactly.
And if you don't, all of a sudden, it's amazing how many mediocre or occasionally a poor review
begin to
pop
tell
up.
You. Yes. Yep. I had a transportation friend. I know you don't know a lot about me and my podcast, other than I'm a podcaster. But I was a transporter. So I drove people's cars and their things all across the country from California, Florida, New York, and beyond. And I had my business on Yelp. And because if I didn't buy into their packages that they wanted to, they want you to spend money. Well, all the good reviews I had, and I had multiple five star all across the board, they were under the not recommended list. I can't even tell you how mad, and I called them. I was so mad that, we're going to give you so much free advertising. It wasn't free because then you have to pay for it in the long run anyway. But it still comes up under not recommended when they were all five-star wonderful reviews. That was the last time I ever used them, and I will never use them again.
I've had the same.
Google, LinkedIn. LinkedIn has ads now. I love LinkedIn. In fact, I just sent you your request. So I love the Google ads. Those are the ways to go. Those two right there. I stay away from that.
Yeah, I don't disagree because I contacted them on a bad review we received 8 years ago. Uh-huh. And I asked them, I said, this review, now this was listed 8 years ago, and it goes back I think 7 more years. I says, how long?
Wow.
I says, you have no current or minimal current positive reviews, but this negative review
8 years ago
that's old is still there.
Oh my God.
I says, when does it go away? Oh, well, we'll look into this.
They never fix it.
Because, and that tells me they have no interest in fixing it.
And they're all based off their algorithms and everything. Like, oh, we can't do this or we can't do that based off this algorithm. I'm like, no, I'm done. I said, you know, I love to read Yelp. And I'll read them and I just take them to heart. I'm like, all right, there's good and there's bad. But if you really go to the Google reviews, they are true. I mean, they do. I mean, that's where I saw all your reviews and they're really all good. I know, even the reviews that you have, the testimonials on your website, they're fantastic. So people need to understand, like, what they're reading, don't take what you see. Everything you see is always good or bad.
Well, I'm going to share this with you. And again, a lot of common sense doesn't hurt anybody. Mm. But if in today's age, if there's businesses, not only mine, and businesses for 30 years or more, they have to be doing something right. That is not an accident anymore.
Yeah, when you're in business for those, that's tons of years. You're looking 40, 50, 60 years. They're doing something right if they're around that long.
That's correct. And so what happens is that in businesses today, if they're independently owned, I'm not talking about corporations, but if you're an independent, family-owned business, and you're in business, you know, 25 years on, and we're in business 39 years, you have to be satisfying people. You have to be doing a good job. Otherwise, you're not going to be in business anymore.
That's right.
Especially with the especially with the extreme conditions that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, right now is another extreme conditions. And one thing I want to say, you take these restaurants and you take these independently owned businesses. You know, we talk about that, and people hear about a restaurant or a business, and there's staff involved with those businesses. And those staff, they have family.
Yes.
So when these businesses are impacted, when they're shutting restaurants down to strictly outside dining and not allowing them to do inside, and it's the winter time where the quantity, and you got Thanksgiving this week, and then you're going to have Christmas and Hanukkah coming up. I can't understand the ramifications that are going to be created, that they have to come up with an intelligent solution to say that let them open up and do as it was 10 years ago. No, but there has to be a balance of what's acceptable under these conditions, and how do you financially make sure they don't get crippled? Because you close restaurants or any business now, and then all of a sudden the first quarter comes, which is January through March, which is the quietest time for most people in business in this part of the country. That's going to be 5 to 6 months of them not doing any business.
Think about it. The devastation that we're about to feel. Because a lot of these restaurants, they're not going to be able to stay open. They can't do outside dining in the wintertime. Even with the heaters that they'd have outside, it's almost impossible. People aren't going to want to sit out there and freeze, even if they have a little bit of heat. And, you know, it's going to impact the families of all these people out there, the restaurants, the businesses. I mean, I just can't even fathom what's about to happen.
A solution needs to be created, and you know, I'm not saying what that solution is, but there's plenty of people smarter than me, and especially people that are in the industry that are willing to talk. If people would turn around and sit down with government and say, hey, you know, what's our solution and what's our options? I believe you can accomplish something. But to have government strictly say this is the way it is and not take into consideration the ramification and what's happening with the businesses and their employees and then the families that go along with it, you know, you got to scratch your head as a business owner and say, I don't know where they're thinking.
I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen, and I fear for so many people. You know, there's already 30 million people out of work, businesses and jobs, and just think what's going to happen this winter. It's going up. The numbers are climbing quickly for unemployment again. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible, Frank. And I just hope that all the businesses out there like yours, and you know, I talked to Altamontes, they were on my podcast, and you know, everybody suffered. And they're trying to just stay alive and try to keep going. But let's just hope and pray we can get through this winter and that we, you know, somehow can get through that first quarter if you're in business. And I just pray to God that all families will survive all this and that nobody has any losses over this course of the next few months. because we know the numbers are climbing. We know there's more people that are dying from the COVID. I hope and pray that your family stays safe and all your employees, all your staff. And you sound like a wonderful person, and I can't wait to meet you. I am looking forward to meeting you in person at some point when everything is safe.
Martha, I really thank you, and I look forward to meeting you as well. You know, I think you got a wonderful concept here with your podcast and helping and reaching people out to businesses. Mm-hmm. I commend you highly. I mean, you know, businesses today, and it's funny, people think because businesses have been around a long time, that they're going to be around a long time. I wish that was the way it worked, but there's so many variables anymore that, you know, I tell my staff, I said, hey, inside the four walls, it's our responsibility. And if it fails, then I didn't do it right. But if we do everything right inside together, our four walls, mm-hmm. right, and all of a sudden the conditions change outside the four walls, well, that's where we got to draw the line, because I can't change what's going on outside the four walls.
But you can control what's inside your shop, your place.
Yep.
You can't control what's happening in the world. We can't help that we have this problem. We have COVID throughout the world and need to control what's coming into your store. I know you're practicing very safe protocols for that. You know, everybody is, that is open. You know, everybody has their masks.
Well, I'm gonna. You know, we're a clothing store, men's clothing store. So we're single gender. And with that being said, you can have thousands of people a week go into a grocery store, mm-hmm. go into a big box store, and they pick up an item, look at it, read it, put it back down, and, you know, their keypad to make a transaction and mm-hmm. leave, go in and out. There's a lot more people touching things in chain stores and in big box stores mm-hmm. and in food stores, okay? There's never any kind of quantity of people in our kinds of stores. In other retail stores, in especially take Doylestown, mm-hmm. if you're a card shop, if you're a ladies store, if you're a coffee shop, a men's clothing operation, a jewelry store, you're not having hundreds of people in there at any one time.
Right.
So, and I know what we go through. There's hand sanitizing stations all through the store. The staff is constantly wiping down the store at the end of the day, in the beginning of the day, during the middle of the day. The cleanliness that our store operates with is tenfold better than any big box store.
Oh, I believe
it's got to be
better,
because there's minimal amount of people coming mm-hmm. through, number one, and number two, there's more emphasis with myself and the staff to wipe everything down mm-hmm. as many times as it takes. It doesn't
absolutely.
Make any difference.
I'd rather go into a smaller shop mm-hmm. store that is able to handle and manage that, and having thousands of people come through, I'd rather have, you know, a minimal amount of people. And that's what I like about Doylestown, is it does have that feel. It has those shops, and there's minimal amount of people. I've been through town, and we don't have that many people through town right now with everything that's going on. So it's minimized.
The traffic, you hit it on the head. The traffic, I don't care whether you're a shopping mall, mm. Center City, Philadelphia, in Doylestown, nobody is seeing the traffic, with the exception of a supermarket, a drugstore, mm-hmm. A big box store, for them to go get their groceries and their cleaning supplies.
Right.
Okay, they're the ones getting the masses of people.
Yeah, the smaller shops are not seeing it. You know, I've been downtown, and I've seen you know, I've been through on the weekend a week just to get a out and see what's going on. It's just not there.
And no,
we're not going to see it. Not going to see it for a while. So it's safe to say we can go to the shops in town. It's like we don't have to worry that thousands of people have gone through that store because it's minimized.
I know the merchants and the restaurateurs in Doylestown, and some of them in New Hope and in the other surrounding areas in Newtown. they're as conscientious as you can ever think and imagine, because they know their livelihood, their life's work is staring them in the eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay? They've worked endless decades, and now all of a sudden, with a condition that they have nothing to do with, that they can't do anything about, is affecting the quality of their business, and also jeopardizing the existence of their business.
Right.
So with that, there's an interest to make sure it's safe, it's clean, and that, you know, the people there are genuinely interested in making sure it's the best shopping or dining experience you're possibly going to get, because they have the ultimate goal, and that's to stay in business and not have their business fold.
That's right. And I try to tell people, like, everybody's like, oh, the Bucks County numbers are up. But does it mean that Upper Bucks? I've looked at it by township. And our numbers up here in Bucks County, Upper Bucks County, in these townships are not high. They have the lowest of the numbers. Where the numbers are concentrated in Bucks County are the lower end at Bucks, where it's near Philly. When you think about it, Philadelphia area, if you get into like Levittown and those sections down there, people are going from the city over there. Those numbers are high down there. And of course, we've got the nursing homes that are having those numbers too, but they're more concentrated down the lower section of Bucks. It's not up here. And everybody's panicking. I'm like, no, it's not in Plumsteadville. It's not in Doylestown. It's even though they say it is, look at the township numbers. Look at the map.
Yeah. It's just like anything else. You can turn around and make the numbers skew one way or the other. If you live here and you work here, you know what's going on.
You know what's going on. Yes.
Right. Doylestown Hospital has cases of COVID. Mm-hmm. Are they bulging with it? No.
No, they're not.
Are they seeing record number of deaths Mm-mm. in that hospital? No. Okay. But, you know, you go into a higher density area of the country. Forget about Pennsylvania. And you're going to have more opportunities of people having a problem because they're either reckless and, you know, shoulder to shoulder in a bar, having parties and having house parties.
Well, they're having the house parties. They were having parties to see who could get the COVID.
That's correct.
I mean, we know that those numbers they went high because they wanted to see, they didn't believe it. Oh, we're not going to get sick when they're having parties. And like all of a sudden now those people have gotten sick and those are the ones that probably passed on all the problems that now we're seeing these numbers.
Yeah, well, you have the super spreaders. So, I mean, you know, that's the condition. It's, you know, people don't worry about themselves, but meanwhile, how about somebody else? Mm-hmm. So there's a condition that everybody's got to be considerate, but at the same time, you know, a little bit of common sense or a lot of common sense doesn't hurt anyone.
No. And we definitely have that up here. We all we're in together, and we all just have to come together and be smart about it. Common sense, practical knowledge. Just remember to stay safe and be healthy out there. And just practice your safety. You know, wash your hands, do everything right. You know, try not to go into areas that are like might be high numbers. You know, you don't want to go to certain places. Stay away from it. Go into the small shops. They're safe. Go to Frank's shop. It's safe. That's what I tell everybody. Go to the places in Doylestown, the little, you know, coffee places, the little, you know, little restaurants that we have, and keep them going. Keep those small businesses running. You know, shop local, shop small business. That's what I've been telling people.
And I've been living my life that way because of our business. But at the same time, I personally, you know, practice what we preach, and I try and support small businesses, small restaurants, independently owned, rather than to go to chain operations and to mall facilities. And, you know, it's all not right. Like they don't need it, but the point about it is that under these conditions, you want to be safe, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, you want to be clean. And number three, you want to be supportive to locals. Start right in Doylestown.
Right. Start small. Stay right here. You will not catch me in a Walmart ever. You always will see me shop small, shop local. That goes for food. It doesn't matter what. I'm from a farm. We grew up on a huge farm, 18,000 chickens. We grew up, we grew our own food. So I knew shopping close by, keeping your people in business. That's what you want to do. You always want to stay within the local community. That's the way it works. And that's what I love about Doylestown. That's why I love Bucks County. Absolutely the best.
That's what made it great. I mean, I was born here in 57, and to see a rural community evolve and the gentrification that took place is amazing. And,
it is.
You know, a little hospital become a nice size facility, mm-hmm. and the county seat is still here, and the Michener Museum and the Fon Hill was always here growing up, but the Michener was created, and now, and you have DelVal University, mm-hmm. which is right here as a major employer as well. I mean, you have a real nice balance of wholesome hometown USA. It's like a Norman Rockwell.
It is. The history here is absolutely amazing. Everything about Bucks County and Doylestown is amazing. We love it. We love it here. And Frank, you're part of that. You're part of that history. And, you know, I'm sure we could talk so much more, but we're going to try to keep us right here at about an hour, because what happens, and I've learned this from many others, learned it from emotional intelligence people, I've learned it from all over, people's attention spans have decreased. So staying within 45 minutes to an hour podcast, I'm finding out we get much more interacting, people helping comment, they love it. If we go to an hour and a half or more, we lose people. it's very interesting. It's interesting dynamics.
So. Well, I thank you for reaching out. I thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm thankful that you could come on and be on the show with your busy schedule and everything that's going on. I'm very fortunate that Laura, wonderful Laura, and her husband Bill had put us together. So I was.
Yeah, thank you for Saldanos. So they're nice people.
Yes. I mean, Laura listens to the show. She, you know, she's not here, but her heart is here in Bucks County. But she listens to the show. I can see exactly where the shows are listened at in every town and every city in the world.
Good for you.
It's amazing. See, that's what Buzzsprout is, our the podcast show support. They're there to help. And they are the host to the show. So they do a wonderful job at getting people on podcasting and getting them out there. But I know that Laura listens to it. I can see where
Great.
She is.
Great.
It's wonderful. But thank you, Frank. And thank you to the staff. And thank you, everybody at Ventresca's. Keep up the great work. And all of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be safe and be healthy out there. Okay?
Thank you, Martha.
You're
All
welcome.
The best to you as well.
Thank you so much, Frank. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too as well. Bye-bye. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much for all your time today. It was a wonderful conversation, a wonderful podcast. Ventresca Limited, right here in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Right here in the heart of Bucks County. And I will be providing all those links right here on the podcast and, of course, as well into the YouTube and all the social media. It will be out there so everybody can learn about them. They are at 145 West State Street in Doylestown, and they have been voted as the best of the best all across the board. So make sure you shop small, shop local. Keep everybody going. Keep those families going. Everybody stay safe. Be healthy. Enjoy your Thanksgiving this week. We will be coming at you with more podcasts this week. We've got a couple more guests from Barry Alexander. Aquiline Drones is coming up on Tuesday. I'm very excited to talk to him since I'm a student of his major drone course. I'm excited. I'm going to be a drone pilot. I just have so much to talk about on that one. And then we have another special guest coming in from Spain. We'll be talking to her at the end of the week. Everyone have a fantastic day and a fantastic week. Happy, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Talk soon. This is Bucks County Bites, over and out.